afternoon, Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we know that it is so easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for us to take our focus away from you or to allow our focus to be taken from you. But Lord, even as we sang this morning, I pray that we would trust you and believe. That we trust you in your timing, that we would trust you in your plan and your purposes. Lord, even as we come into this Christmas season, Lord, it just speaks to the hope that we have that you prepared for us in times when we couldn't see it. You were working. And I pray, Lord, that we would trust you and believe. Lord, help us now as we open your word. Help us to allow your spirit to move us, to work on us. And Lord, may you challenge us and change us. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's going to be time for our kids to be dismissed for Kids Connect. And so those in grades 1 through 3 can meet up front here and head back for a time in the Word together. All right, and this morning let's go to Galatians chapter 4. As we prepare for Christmas now, and yes, it is legally open for you to decorate a Christmas tree now. Although I made some concessions this year. Because it was 2020, I allowed Christmas trees to go up before Thanksgiving. I'm not heartless. And sometimes you just need that joy. And so, but it is a time now in these Sundays leading up to Christmas. For many, it's called Advent. It's a time for us in preparation. Back that first Christmas was the first Advent, and to think of waiting for Christ to come, and then we not only can look back to that, but we can look forward to the second Advent, to the coming of Christ, and we're kind of in that waiting period until that Advent and Christ returning for us. But in this time, this season, for us as believers, it should be a season of hope. It should challenge us. It should encourage us to think of what God has provided for us through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And so as we come to these Sundays leading up to Christmas, we're going to deal with a season of hope. Something that our hearts need, something that our lives need, and something that we can take and apply to our life and also use to bless others with during this time of year. But as we approach this time of year, you ever had that experience where giving the right gift just seems to bring on so much anxiety? How many of you have started Christmas shopping? All right. How many of you are finished Christmas shopping? Oh, put your hands down, you overachievers. When we come to this time of year and we think about the gifts and we think about the different gatherings and the different things, and this year the gatherings might look different. So you might be using Amazon to deliver your gifts or whatever it might be. But the giving of the right gift produces a lot of anxiety. Do you know that 62% of the return gifts are clothes? So if you want a chance that your gift is going to be liked, don't give clothes. Or how about this? 40% of wives return their husband's gifts. Guys, we got to get it together. We got to get the right gifts. You know what? In our household, someone has made it very easy for us this year. A couple weeks ago, I was looking on Amazon, and then all of a sudden, I looked at the browsing history of Amazon, and this is what pops up. And if you can see what it is, Mr. Finley has decided that here's his shopping list. And this is what we need to buy him. There's Triceratops. All right. There's semi-trucks, Brontosauruses. There's a Kubota Zero Turn toy. I mean, his, you know, his interests are varied. A backhoe. There's even a toy Dyson vacuum cleaner. And yes, it's overpriced too. So there is no getting the wrong gift for Mr. Finn, as he has given us this picture. But in Christmas time, it can be very frantic. It can be very stressed. And a lot of times it's because we're just too busy. And it creates more anxiety than it does relieve it. You know, it is okay to slow down. It's okay to make things more meaningful during this time of year. Because when we come to this time of year, we have the hope, we have the joy, we understand that God gave us the right gift. He gave us exactly what we needed, and that's what makes it the right season, the Christmas season, a season of hope, because it reminds us that in the waiting, God will deliver on His promises. He will provide. So Christmas brings hope. Because it's the right season. I want you to look here with me in Galatians chapter 4. And let's read verses 1 through 7 just to get the context here. But we're going to deal mainly with verses 4 and 5. It says in verse 1, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave. Though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Here, the right season, this season of hope, it is there for us because as we see in verse 4, first off, we see it was the right moment. It was the right moment. But when the fullness of time had come. You see, throughout the Galatians, we had seen Paul had been building up to this moment. He had been building up in this teaching. In chapter 3, in verse 19, he says, why then the law? It was added because of our transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise has been made. And it was put in place through the angels by the intermediary. Until. You look at verse 23 of chapter 3. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. In chapter 4 there in verse 2, where it says, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. There is this theme of waiting. There's this theme of until. That all of this is happening, and Paul is bringing about the idea of what is under the law as he is speaking about being justified by faith and walking in faith. He is talking about the fact that we were walking under the law in those works and looking at the law for our justification in those times, and that was something that couldn't bring it for us. And it was there until the promise was going to be fulfilled. Until that moment, we are waiting in the until Christ returns. And there are so many days that it seems to go by that in this until that moment, that we wonder, God, what are you doing? Where are you? What is happening? In this until, we are waiting And it's in this time that God is still working. God is working in this until, even when we can't see it, because he's working to bring about the right moment. And that's verse 4. You see the contrast there. When he's talking about that being enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, just as a child. And yet, it says in verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, the contrast, this is the way it was. This was the until, but there came a fullness of time when God said, here, this is my plan. Here, this is the right moment. The fullness of time is that phrase that means that this was the right time in God's mind. The Father has brought the Son at the right time, a completed time. Historically, if you look at the time to the birth of the Savior, there were many things that were advantageous for what was happening. There was a universal peace, this idea of the Pax Romana, that Rome had conquered so much and enlarged the empire so much that they had brought this peace to so much of the area. There was a universal language that they had brought from the Greeks. There was a universal government. There was a universal need. The setting was primed. There had been 400 years of silence. 400 years from the last prophet in Malachi and the last events in Nehemiah and Ezra. And now we have had 400 years of this time, this intertestament period. Many things have been going on, many things back and forth. The Israel had gone under different rules, different kingdoms, and now Rome is ruling over them. And all this is back and forth. And then there we see an angel appears. To Mary, an angel appears to Joseph. There we see that she's with child. And she's brought to Bethlehem in the days of Caesar Augustus. And there on a mountainside, the night sky lights up with an angel host to those shepherds and says, today, for unto you is born today, the fullness of time. And this was God's plan from all along, to bring it to this point, to this time. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to the purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. It was all God's plan. When we are in the until, sometimes it's hard for us to know the mystery of God's will. But as we look at this season of hope, it points us to this fact that God will deliver on his plan. And just as that fullness of time had come about, he sent forth his Son. There's coming a day, there's coming a time when he's going to send his Son back again. And until that time, we can wait and trust in him. God always provides a way. He always knows the right timing. Not only is it the right moment, but we also see it was the right man. In verse 4, But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Here we see that this man came from God. He was from God, his son, sent from God, 100% divine. It makes us think of the prophecies of Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was 100% divine. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen the glory as the only son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That there, that tiny baby born of Mary was 100% the Son of God, 100% divine. I like how Mark Lowry describes it. He says Mary was the first one to carry the gospel. As she brought forth the Son of God, he was from God, but also born of a woman. 100% man. That he came to this earth in this form as a human, as a man, and he submitted to these human restrictions. And we understand that as he grew up as 100% divine, 100% man, he was the perfect one that could be that spotless Lamb of God for us. Because he was God, because he was man, because he was human. Hebrews 4:14-16 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Not only is it a great fact that he's 100% divine, but he was 100% man. He can sympathize with our plight because he experienced it just as we have. So we can draw with confidence in prayer to him. Because he was the right man. He was God's person. The person that God had given to make this payment. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, where God guides, he provides. He provides a way. To think about that night, the announcement of the birth of Christ. There on that hillside, those shepherds, they're tending their sheep. And then all of a sudden you have an angel appearing to them. Already that is going to be something out of the ordinary. That this is not what is supposed to be happening. The brightness of it in that dark night sky, and all of a sudden the brightness shines about them and the angel appears, and then the heavenly host coming with them. You can only imagine the night sky lighting up and the announcement, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Unto you is born this day. The right man, God's person, born for you, and a life lived completely for all people. That was his entrance into the world, that this Savior who is born for you is a joy that will be for all people, that he was born, and from the very moment he was born, his life, his purpose was meant for the cross that might pay the penalty for our sins, that his life every day was lived for others. 100% God, 100% man, living in this world completely for all people. It was the right person. But then we also see the right motive. Because notice in verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. God sent at this fullness of time, at the right time, not just a spectacle, but a purpose, that this was God's purpose to send Jesus to redeem, to secure the deliverance of, so that we are no longer those slaves, as verse 7 says, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if not a son, then an heir through God. The idea is the idea of freedom, of inheritance. Inheritance as those joint heirs of Jesus Christ, that he has brought everlasting life, that he has brought gospel transformation, that he has brought victory over sin and the grave, that even today we can stand at the grave and not mourn as those without hope because of Jesus Christ and his redemption. He brought that in that motive. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15 says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. This is where our hope lies. And if we can really get to this matter today. I don't know about you. You turn on the news right now. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of concern. And understand when I'm saying this and when I think about this, I'm not discrediting a virus, but understand the fear can enslave you. We have a hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. We have a hope. That doesn't mean that we are stupid. That doesn't mean that we tempt God and we do all these different things. But it means that we don't walk in this world in slavery of fear. That I walk in this world with a hope because he redeemed me and he brought life everlasting. And because of that hope, because of that motive, this season, this Christmas season, and all the busyness is worthless if we miss the redemption through Jesus Christ. That is our hope. That is our joy, because he's the one who conquered death and conquered that slavery to fear of death. It's God's purpose. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This season is about hope because of the hope of redemption. You know, one of the great songs of Christmas time was written in 1847. As the French were preparing for the Christmas season and preparing for a Christmas service, a priest asked a local French poet to write a poem for the Christmas service. And he wrote this poem and saw that it was so beautiful that it needed to be set to music. And so in Paris, he found a Jewish composer who really did not believe in Jesus Christ. But this composer, Adolf Charles Adams, wrote the music. And there was set the words, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. And the church began to sing this song, and it became a very popular song right away. And they began to sing it, pointing to the hope of Jesus Christ. But a few years later, the poet would walk away from the church. And so the church denounced the hymn. They denounced the song, but yet the people would continue to sing it. And it would continue on. In the 1850s, American writer John Sullivan Dwight brought it to America when he heard the words. And around that time period, we know that it was a time period near the Civil War, and they were dealing with slavery, and the freedom from oppression that was written in the song spoke to Dwight, and he brought it to America. In 1871, and during the Franco-Prussian War, on Christmas Eve, as the French and the Germans were opposed each other in the trenches, a Frenchman stood up and began to sing, "O Holy Night." And when he got done and went back to his trench, a German stood up and began to sing a hymn for Martin Luther. And a period of 24 hours of peace was held. But in 1906, the chief chemist for Thomas Edison, Reginald Fessenden, was working on a new invention that would utilize these radio waves sent for Morse code. And he hooked it together with a microphone. And for the first time on Christmas Eve in 1906, he began with reading Luke chapter 2. And he read the Christmas story. And for the first time over those airwaves that sailors and ships had heard the Morse code and the different beeps and the back and forth, all of a sudden they were hearing a man's voice, this professor, this chemist. And they were hearing him read the story of Christ's birth. And when he was done, he picked up his violin and he began to play, "O Holy Night." As we think about those words, "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born." The right motive. And because of that, a weary world can rejoice. How we need that hope. But then, lastly, we see that it was the right method. Because notice what it says in verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent. God sent. It doesn't say there, "we deserve." It says God sent. Because regardless of what works, regardless of what we have done, we all were in the same position. And God sent his son. Sent is a theme that we see throughout Scripture. Joseph says it in Genesis 45 that God sent me before you to keep you alive. In Exodus chapter 3, God sends Moses. We see the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah are sent. John 1:6, John the Baptist was sent. Mark 3:14, he appointed 12, whom he also named the apostles so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. The sending God is a compassionate God. We see his passion. That he sent forth his son. We didn't deserve it. But in the fullness of time, at God's plan, for God's person, for God's purpose, he sent forth his passion. He sent forth his son. God did not leave us hopeless. You know, being helpless is to be hopeless. And God did not leave us helpless or hopeless, because through his love, he sent forth his son. He sent hope. 1 John 4:9-11 says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God so loved us that he sent his son for us, we should love one another. I love the illustration of this. The sending idea of God, and God sends, and he's the missionary God. It's been compared to that force, that centrifugal force. You know what happens when you begin to spin around an object? Have you ever been on one of those merry-go-rounds as a kid that they must have outlawed today? You know, that they had diamond-plated steel on the floor and those big metal pipes, you know, no rubber safety or anything, nothing but dirt and gravel around the outside of it. All right, one really warped me as a child, okay? And especially in Florida, in the middle of the day, you get on that thing and boy, you had a diamond pattern just burned to your skin. But when you get on this thing, you begin to spin around and that force wants to throw you out, wants to push you out. That centrifugal force. And the real weird thing is that there's no actual force that is pushing you out. It is the fact that you're revolving around a center. Isn't that amazing? When you revolve around the center, it automatically begins to push you out. What would happen if we revolved around Jesus Christ this morning? And revolved around him in such a way that it began to push us out. Because when you live in that relationship and you love Christ and you are revolving your life around Jesus Christ, it is going to naturally send you out into this world as his ambassador, as his missionary, as his Christian, as his believer. If we revolve around Christ, we're going to naturally be sent out. You see, loving God does not lead to a selfish, introverted religion. It leads to a selfless, extroverted vision. And this season of hope should have that centrifugal force. That this hope that we have through the fullness of time, that God sent forth his son so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be sons and daughters and we can have that heir, is not just so that we can hoard it, but that we can send forth hope as well. That we can bless others through Jesus Christ. The right season, the season of hope, it came at the right moment. And all those untils that we experience, the right moment is coming. We can trust God. He's got the right man in Jesus Christ. He produced the man that was able to take care of our sin problem, our greatest need. He had the right motive for redemption. And he had the right method as a sending God, a missionary God. So as we come to this season of hope, we can send hope. Listen to these words of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. We get to walk in freedom because of Jesus Christ. And we can send that hope this morning. That is a season of hope. Shall we stand? This morning as we stand here just for a moment, let's take this time just to bow our heads. I want to ask you, do you have that hope today? Do you know that gospel, that provision of Jesus Christ that takes away your sins, that provides that freedom from oppression, that freedom from the slavery of fear of death? Do you have that hope personally today? It's not about what you can do, because you'll never be able to do enough. There will always be anxiety. What do I need to do next? Today, the hope of Jesus Christ says He has done it all. And it's a gift for you to receive. Have you ever received that gift? If not, let this season of hope start today for you. Because in just a moment, we're going to begin to sing. Brother Andrew, myself, we're going to be down here. We would love for you to meet us and to say, I need that hope. We'd love to show you. If you know that hope this morning, if you know that freedom from fear, from death, from sin, I want to ask you, how are you showing that hope to others? How are you showing them what Jesus Christ can provide for them? How are you sending out hope in your heart and life this morning? This morning, as we sing this time of response, as the Spirit is moving on you, if there is something that He is moving for you to do, we would love for you to step out in faith. If you need to follow in baptism, we would love to be able to help you toward that. You need a place to join, to be a part of a church family, we would love for you to come and be a part with us. But as we sing, let us listen. Let us do what He's calling us to do today. Heavenly Father, Lord, work now in this time as only You can. And we'll give You all the thanks and praise in Jesus' name.